Revelation chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading we got to the 14th verse. We're going to begin reading with the 13th and a little bit of review and read to the end of the chapter. Judgment upon this earth is coming, and so please that you, this most horrible time that we're looking at here in the Scripture, but it is real and we need to cover it and look at it, and it should touch our hearts and burden our hearts for the lost. Revelation chapter 14, beginning to read with verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had the power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle unto the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word today. We have come together. What a wonderful place you have given us, a place of joy, of peace, of comfort, a place where we can come together as a family and not be threatened by the world and the things of the world. You have blessed us so much, dear Lord, so please that we look to your blessings, and we thank you for your blessings, and we just look to you each and every day and serve you and praise you and honor you. Please, dear Lord, today those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, they've never had that personal relationship. I just ask today that they will have called upon you today, right now. And don't wait one more day, because it may be one day too late. Everything is in place for your return, dear Lord, to take the church away. And if that comes, then this time that we're speaking of here immediately is ushered in. And so please, those that are lost, that they would hear your call today and be saved. And Father, stir us up as believers, that we will have an urgency in our heart, a desire in our heart to see those that are around us that are lost be saved. Give us that strength and direction, dear Lord, please. Now, speak to our hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This 13th verse, as this judgment continues to expose itself and show us what is going on, and in the 12th and 13th verse of the same chapter says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that kept the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. You know, as we serve the Lord and praise the Lord and share His precious good news, the grace of God with all that we know, we become blessed folks. We become folks with a peace and a joy in our heart. Those that choose not to follow after the Lord Jesus have just the opposite. They have nothing but torment and unrest. They try to take all the things of this life and this world to satisfy, and nothing satisfies. and soon they will find themselves facing death and die and go to the place of torment awaiting the judgment. But if today the church would be raptured, and those that do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior will make one step forward into the time called the tribulation, the great tribulation. And all the things that we've been discussing for several months now are things that's going to go on during that tribulation period. But as we look at this area here, we find it to be coming to a close. And the torment and the desire to destroy God's people, those that were saved during the tribulation, their torment, their persecution surpasses anything that has ever come, ever. And so they're to the place that they want. The Antichrist is in rule, the beast. It is such a horrid time in the persecution. And if you refuse the mark of the beast, you're put to death. And it is just such a horrible time. And during this time, then, you find that when finally they see God's judgment coming, instead of a sadness for those that are going to go to hell, it's a time of rejoicing because God sees the victory. The people see the victory God's bringing, and they rejoice. Finally, the enemy is destroyed. And God comes in His Word here, and He says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth." And so He's saying, please hang on and understand this blessedness, this hope is coming. And so please don't give up. Don't let go of that hope, because it is a comforting hope. Happy are the dead who die in the Lord. All believers from Pentecost on have went immediately into the presence of the Lord. Immediately. What a rejoice and what a glorious day that is. If you want to write down, we're not going to take time because this is kind of review, but I have Ephesians 4, 7 through 11 that you can look to those verses of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8. Philippians chapter 1, 21 through 26. Luke 16, 22. All these tell of that decision-making time and what is where those that know Jesus will go, where those that don't know Jesus will go. And so please to look those up. But the righteous dead will immediately be in the presence of the Lord, and those ungodly wicked will be immediately in the presence of hell. They'll be in hell. And so that is so quickly. There is one verse of Scripture that I want to look up with you, and it's back in the book of Ecclesiastes. And so if you look to Psalms, Proverbs, and then you come to the book of Ecclesiastes, and it is in the 12th chapter, and I want you to see this, because for us as believers, no matter what goes on in this old world, the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was," that's speaking of our bodies, "and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." And then it goes on to say in verse 8, "Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity." And so we need to see today the importance of serving the Lord and praising the Lord, because all this old body and all the things, you know, we already have figured out, I think, that things wear out, things rust away, things rot away, and the only thing we can do with those things is replace them or repair them. And one of these days, our body is going to finally give out, because as things, so is our body. You know, how often do we go to the doctor, we take our medicine, we do all these things to repair our broken body? It just continues to deteriorate, and the older we get, the more often that we find ourselves scheduling our whole life around doctor's appointments and instead of any other activity. And so we know that there's going to be a time that this old body is going to give up. And when it does, be so thankful that's not the end. Our old body, yes, goes into the ground, turns back to dust again. Turns back to dust again. But our spirit will be immediately in the presence of the Lord. What a glorious day that's going to be. And so I want you to see that, because some of this in Luke 16:22 is about the beggar and the rich man and all those verses of Scripture. And so please be excited, be ever so excited about being a believer in Jesus Christ. There should be so much joy in our heart because we know Jesus. And yet at the same time then, we should have a burden and be in prayer, even in tears, for those that we know and we love that don't know Jesus. Because there is a multitude that's going to find themselves when they wake up through death in hell, or they're going to walk into this period of time that we're talking about right here. And so now we look at the 14th verse, and we have something here. Today you can look up in the night and you can see the stars, the beautiful stars in the sky, or you can see a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset. We can see through, after a storm passes, this most beautiful rainbow that comes across the sky. We have so much. The trees are green now. The corn's growing. The flowers are coming out. There's so much to look at and to enjoy every day. But there's going to be some events that take place in the future that are going to surpass any of those. And this is one of them. This is one of them, because you look at this 14th verse, and I looked, John speaking, I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. We have some events, some battles that's coming to pass here. There's a battle of Gog and Magog that's spoken of in Revelation 20. We have this battle here. The battle of Gog and Magog will be fought at the end of the this battle that we're looking at here will be fought at the end of the tribulation period. It is called the Battle of Blood. The battle in Revelation 20 will be the Battle of Fire. We see here, and through the Scripture, it tells us in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, that you can read this afternoon. But the 11th verse says, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner on a cloud, as you have seen him go into heaven." He's going to come back. Now, we look at the rapture of the church. That's a different time. This is a time when he is second coming. He's coming to plant his feet. Luke 21:27 says, "Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with the power and great glory." This is not talking about the rapture of the church. The rapture is described, if you want to look back, to Revelation chapter 4 or 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Luke 21:27 and Acts 1:11 describe the revelation, the time when every eye shall see him. And this is that time. Every eye shall see him. This second coming, Revelation 1:7 and 2 Thessalonians 1:7-14. John sees a cloud, and on the cloud one like unto the Son of Man. We have no question who this is. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. The clouds are kind of his chariots as they carry him here. It is he who will judge the quick and the dead, according to 2 Timothy 4:1. He is appearing on this white cloud. He is the one who will clear the earth of all wickedness. He will clear clean the earth of the Antichrist and all of his followers. He will destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. What a day that will be. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Oh, to look up into the sky and to see this gigantic cloud coming. This is the end of the tribulation period. And upon that cloud will be seated the Lamb of God as he comes. On his head will be a crown of pure gold. This sight, this great sight, is not the first time we've heard about it. Back in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, and I will read to you, I, Daniel, saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man come with the clouds of heaven. And came the Ancient of Days, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. That was back in 538 B.C. Daniel saw and recorded exactly what John is seeing here each time. God doesn't want us blind and ignorant to the fact of what's coming. He told those of the Old Testament, and now he's telling those of the New Testament what is to come. In both cases, we have both to look at and to be reminded and know what's here. Jesus is coming back to this earth. His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. In Zechariah 14:4, we read that this morning down in the Sunday school class. His feet is going to come down. He's going to plant his feet upon this earth, and the mount will divide from the north and the south, and the area will be once again watered as it was in the past, and one of the most richest area in the world. He is coming to judge the nations. You can find that in Matthew 25, verse 31 and 32, coming to judge the nations. This Lamb, the King of Kings, that's seated upon this cloud in his throne, has something in his hand, and he is bringing a sharp sickle. A sharp sickle. He is coming to judge. We could say that sin's harvest is fully ripe. If you think of the awful condition of this world today, it's going to be nothing in comparison with what it's going to be then, when he is literally loose to have his full reign upon this earth. And there'll be a time when God says, enough, and he will bring judgment upon all, and it is time for this harvest. When you look at this sickle, it is a harvest tool. And you know, we can go back to the days. You know, I didn't go back into the days of the horses. I'm not quite that old, and so I come with the tractors. But we use a corn knife, and you could use an old scythe, they called it. And here it's referred to as a sickle, but it's a harvest tool that you harvest the crop with. And he's coming to harvest a crop. But it is sinful man, and he's coming to judge. When Jesus comes in the rapture, he will come with the trumpet sound, voice of a trumpet. Now, if you want to enjoy that study, you need to come tonight, because we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. And so you come tonight to hear about that. The shout will be, come up hither to the church. You find that in Revelation 4:1. But here he comes with a sharp sickle in his hand. The Lamb is about to reap the harvest of the earth. As we read last week and the week before, Matthew 25, verse 31, 32, we read a section there, talks about separating the wheat from the tares, and that will be done here. This is a time of blood, and there's going to be rivers of blood. And so we find the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lamb of God coming, sitting upon the throne, and he is held up by this cloud over everything. And another angel comes here in verse 15, and it came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." And so we have another angel comes. He comes out of the temple. And if you look back into the 10th chapter of Revelation, there's an angel who stood on the land and on the sea and announced there will be no further delay. Judgment is here. Things are happening. They're happening very fast. God is bringing an end to all the ungodliness and to the reign of the Antichrist. He's bringing it to a close. The 16th verse, "And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle up on the earth, and the earth was reaped harvest." We're not sure of what type of suffering. We're not sure of what type of pain will come, but we know that it will be great. According to Revelation 16:10, men will gnaw their tongues for pain during this time. We find the 17th verse, another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, and he also having a sharp sickle. And then in 18, another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." Two angels in the 17th and 18th verse. One has another sharp sickle and another has the power of fire. We have six angels now mentioned in this 14th chapter. Verse 6, verse 8, verse 9, verse 15, verse 17, and verse 18. Verse 15 and 17, they came from the temple, and they literally have the vials of the wrath of God as it's being poured out. Number 6, if you remember, these six angels, six is one short of perfection, is exactly where man will find themselves, short of perfection. And we need a Savior. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way that we can please our God. There is no way that we can do a work that will satisfy our God. We must come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember back in the 6th chapter of Revelation when we talked about the martyrs and the souls that were underneath the altar and they cried unto God and says, How long will it be before judgment will come? Well, all these things now are coming to pass. They're coming to an end. They're coming to a close because this time has finally come. The call comes. And in the last half of the 18th verse, it says here, "Thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." You know, vine in the Word of God, you think of always being the nation of Israel. Psalms 80, verse 8 tells us that the true vine of the earth is Israel. And so here we see that it says that gather the clusters of the vines of the earth. And that's the key. If you look to Isaiah 5, verses 2 through 4, we learn that Israel produces wild grapes. You look to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21, we learn that God's divine vine has turned to a strange vine. Israel was set aside and replaced by the true vine, which the true vine is our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that anyone can produce fruit today is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through the nation of Israel because it's God's chosen people. They have become a wild grape or strange vine. But if you want to produce fruit from the vine, we must attach ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the true vine. And if we will attach ourselves to him, come by faith to him, as John chapter 3, you must be born again. And if you have come by faith to the Lord Jesus, then and only then will we be able to be fed and nourished and strengthened and produce fruit. Only then. Only then can we do that. True disciples of our Lord are fruit-bearing branches. We are not just branches. We're to be fruit-bearing. Jesus is the true vine from heaven. The Antichrist, on the other hand, is the counterfeit. And that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at the counterfeit. Always Satan is the great liar. He always takes, and how many times through this study have we looked at example after example that Jesus would stand for something with the Trinity, with the Holy of Holies, and then we find that Satan has moved himself in and taken that role and taken that place. He is a liar, he's a cheat, he's a deceiver. And so he too then has to have a vine, and he has a vine. And his vine during even this day that we live in is a vine of religion. We have so many today that are religious today, but they are all looking to a man. They're not looking to the Word of God for their truths, for their guidance, for their leadership. They are studying and depending upon different doctrines, doctrine of baptism, the doctrine of the Lord's Supper, being just a member of that church. And once you're a member of that church, I was in a church, served in a church for many years before I was saved that did just that. You had to be a member of that church. And when we left that church, we received a letter of excommunication. And in that letter it said that without question, unless you return to this church, you will die and go to hell. That's how much religion has taken over. It's got nothing to do with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, it has everything to do with the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I don't care what church you attend. I don't care where you go. I don't care. What it matters is your relationship with Christ. And then Jesus will lead you to a good place. But start with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this counterfeit here, this one that bears wild grapes, must be destroyed. And we know that he is not the true vine that we're talking about here by any means, because it says the vine of the earth. The vine of the earth. And that connects with the Antichrist. It connects with an entire religious system that he will have during this tribulation period. It gathers up all the evil of all the world, and it will be destroyed. As this destruction comes, we look in verse 19, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden out without the city, and the blood came out of the winepress even unto the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. We are looking at a flowing of blood at the judgment of this time, of being 6 foot deep, anywhere from 175 to 200 miles long, and we're looking at 10 miles wide. 10 miles wide. What did we say earlier? This is a judgment of blood. A judgment of blood. The judgment of fire will come at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But right now we've got the judgment of blood. They ignored the blood of Jesus Christ. They ignored that precious gift. He died. He gave his own blood that you and I can live. He has decided to stand against that. The world has. so their own blood will flow instead of being and trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ. How this is all going to take place, you can look and you can find as we look at the scripture, and all the nations will come against the nation of Israel, so all will be gathered together to come and destroy this little land known Israel. They hate Israel. They hate the God of Israel. They hate Israel. They hate any believer that stands with Israel. And so all the enemies, it's not going to take much to bring them all together. Some believe that there's going to be a time that there's going to be oil found in the nation of Israel, and that's very possible. And if it does come, if that takes place, one more reason why, as the world hungers for oil, that they will come back, and adding to the hatred they have for the nation of Israel, it won't take much to destroy it all. But you see, God's not going to let that. He won't let that happen. And the enemy, all of the followers of the Antichrist, all that stood and never turned from their religion, and yet never trusted in Jesus, their blood will be spilled here. Those that go into this tribulation period. What an awful day. What an awful day. We're to the seven vials of the 15th chapter. And that's where we'll begin next week as we continue to look at the battle. And this is known as the Battle of Armageddon that we looked at today. I hope you know Jesus as your Savior. I hope you're not trusting in some religion that you've been taught in your past. I hope that you don't let someone that trusts in their religion stop you from telling them about Jesus. I've been around folks for years that when you say, have you asked them if they're a Christian? Oh, I know they are, because they're so faithful to their church, they go all the time. Oh, my friend, that doesn't make it. So I didn't ask you if you went to church. I didn't ask you about the doctrines of your church. I asked you, do you know Jesus? We've been studying Revelation, and you don't want to go through that time. Please, will you come by faith to Jesus? If they reject it, it's their time. It's their decision. But let's see that we make it plain to them, so that they know. Let's see that we tell them so the blood isn't on our hands. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come. I thank you for your precious word. We have looked at six angels as they've come from before God, and we have watched this judgment in the form of a harvest. Please, dear Lord, burden our hearts that we will share the gospel. That no one that we know will not have heard it. You give the increase, dear Lord. We're the messengers. So please, you've given us these verses so that we can see them as believers. The lost don't believe it, so it has no bearing on them as far as where they stand, but it sure should on us knowing what's coming. We need to have a fire in our soul for you, dear Lord, that we take this precious word out. Father, again, I ask if anyone's here that does not know you as their Savior, that they'll come today and be saved. And take these words and stir our hearts and excite our hearts, that we will use the means you've given us, the talents you've given us, to take this gospel out. I thank you for precious word now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.